Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to the panel, please.
Good morning.
Good morning. I called to say, you're all people don't look at things like how we look at it, pensioner. But when the gentleman fell off the truck, I look at that. And they called a friend, and he told a friend, the fall from grace. And that was it. You get where you're coming from?
I get you. Okay.
Yes, please.
Like you saw that as a sign?
Yes, it was a sign. Because it's a lot of things that I see, that I saw in past time. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, this one says, I like how the young man is addressing the need for different philosophies to be in the mix. And there's also a comment I want to read. This one is to you, Kimarstra. It says, this guy needs to wake up. Barbados is no longer a two-sided, two-party country. Skip a one party, get all the seats and a sizable percentage of the votes. You really think that 4,000 votes is something? How do you respond to people that respond to your thoughts like that?
I just think he's caught up in the blues again, you know, the euphoria, not seeing straight, not coming with a plausible argument. It just seems like a runaround argument that we would argue around a circle, but that kind of thinking needs to change. We need to argue with the intent of getting towards a point, to a solution, to change something. So if it is that he wants to offer a contribution to help build, then that's okay. But if it's just to argue for argument's sake, then they can't partake in what he's saying.
Okay. Good enough. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to look at the launch of the actual elections, the campaigns, how each of the parties would have launched their campaign, and get your take on that and many other aspects of the last election. The Barbados General Election 2018, a youth review brought to you this Brass Tag Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory-painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christchurch 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay, so let's look at the launch, the actual official launch of the actual elections now. So we have the launch of Solutions, the launch of UPP, the launch of the Democratic Labour Party, and the launch of BDBLP. And let's get your take on the different launches. Okay. So who wants to take that one first? Yes, right, Rochelle.
Let me go. So to be fair, while I paid attention to a certain extent to the third parties, knowing how the Caribbean works as it relates to third parties, the honest truth is that they didn't have a large percentage of my attention. So I really cannot comment on the UPP launch as well as Solutions Barbados. I'll probably comment on the things I would have heard during the election, but that's really it. However, when you juxtapose the two major parties and the launches that you had, there was a drastic difference in the content and the execution of the launch. Okay. When you take the launch of the Barbados Labour Party, you could see it appeared as if they had prepared for it, like this was planned, like they sat down and said, this will happen, this will happen, we want this, this is the conversation that we want to be had, this is how we want it to flow, this is what we are going to present to Barbadians. This is it, because we recognize that the launch is vital and this is how we are going to step up. They had informal launches before, in my opinion. They had launched their campaign itself before, but the official launch was one that showed well-planned, clean-cut execution. If they were assassins, they did it perfectly. Nobody would know when they got in and when they got out. That is the truth. When you examine Democratic Labour Party launch, I have a big problem with this as a young woman. As a person, the launch seemed as if it was not a launch of a campaign, but a launch of an attack on the then leader of the opposition, the Honorable Mia Amor Motley, now Prime Minister. It was something that I felt as if it was haphazard. The plan was simply to go in there and present a slaughter. It didn't examine the issues that we had. When you had a government coming to Barbadians before a general election, I expected something more. I expected them to talk about the successes of the government and what the government had done and what was next. That this election campaign, you had to invest in them again because they had done an amazing job. If you had done this phenomenal job, what you should have launched was your report card to Barbadian so that we could give you A's or give you F's, or you could even grade yourself and we could agree or disagree. And I felt like that was missing, and I felt that it was a disgusting display of the boys' club taking a lash at a woman that was coming to office. And that is how I felt.
Mm-hmm. If my take on it is that first, when I saw the UPP launch, and I saw a solution launch, I thought it was well played. In terms of well played, meaning that I don't think they would have get a mass turnout at their launches. So they both launched it at Independence Square, Hero Square, where the public, where the public of Barbados would probably be waiting for the bus or passing, right? And they would have gotten the attention of people, which was well played. When they look at the Barbados Labour Party launch, I could agree with Roshana. Well planned, well thought, well put together. They know that they would have had the masses because they picked the venue very strategically to accommodate a lot of people that they know that would have turned out. So I could have said that it was a very well planned. They used the social media. Everything was excellent. When they then look at the Democratic Labour Party launch, and I would say that the Democratic Labour Party did give us heads up that they would be launching attacks or whatever the case may be, or based on their posters and stuff. I did not expect to see big deal grown men and women sit on a stage and slaughter or try to whatever a lady's character, whether or not it be Miss Motley or not. Because when that was done and I watched that, I put on my Facebook, I would like to probably apologize to all the women that I ever offend, because that day turned my mind completely, that our leaders at the time were like senseless chickens on stage just pulling down. And you know, it really, for me, there wasn't a launch. I consider the Democratic Labour Party still need to launch a campaign. Yeah, I think they still need to launch a campaign, you know, understand? Because that was not a launch for me in any sense of the word, as called as we know political launches to be. I think that they still need to wheel and come again with the launch.
Going on the topic of the third parties, I feel as though, yes, they didn't expect the masses to turn out at the launches or what the case may be, but a lot more could have been done to grasp the public's attention. Mm-hmm. For me, I still don't know some of the party faces, plans, anything like that. Going over to the two major parties, I think it was Roshanan that said that the previous administration should have brought what they did over the past, in the last term, and then let the public decide if they're going to be given a passing or failing grade. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, you must have something to present. I feel as though the next problem with the previous administration, though, is that the communication was lacking. Poor, right up and through the campaign even. We still do not know what they had intended for Barbados between the lines that they were attempting to slaughter the current Prime Minister. And that took away from a lot of the essence of what a campaign launch should be. Going to the Barbados Labour Party's launch, I feel as though it's been covered. We understand they thought objectively about how they were going to approach it, and they executed magnificently. Mm-hmm. And we see the results of such.
From a third party perspective, the things that you would have liked to see, they cost money. So
it doesn't hurt to have a social media presence, though.
That still costs money as well.
Use my cell phone, though.
It costs money, so in the interest of quote-unquote integrity, the hard third parties refusing to use the past means in which some political parties would have gone to to attract campaign financing. Solutions Barbados was mostly self-funded, from my knowledge. I am not sure about the United Progressive Party. So, true self-funding, all of you would have had a limited reach in terms of resources. So, that covered the aspect. Performed reasonably okay based on what you had there. For the other, for the larger parties, it came down to who was advising who. What was the ethos around the communication strategy within the party at the time? It's clear that the Barbados Labour Party had a better managed communications team in place. It clearly was built up around young people. As you can see, young people are tech savvy. At times, you are when you sit at home and you click on a live link, over 1,000 people immediately. The connection was proper, you know, you didn't have much interruptions, and you could see. So the Democratic Labour Party had a more, they attempted to follow what the Bees did, but obviously not successful because the ethos, again, was not in line with what the people wanted. So that demographic that they wanted to target, they completely missed that target. So although we, the younger ones, looking on saying that the campaign was disgraceful, you have another set of people in society saying, well, brilliant campaign. Brilliant campaign. You did well. You performed well. You know, y'all lick. Y'all lick me. Y'all did this. Y'all did that. Y'all stood for democracy. And we heard about Barrow. And we heard about things that no longer have such a stringent hold on society. So, again, who was advising who at the time of these campaigns? It's clear that the Bees outdid everyone in terms of their communication strategy, and they think going forward other political parties should take note of how to run a proper communication strategy to reach those demographics that they want to within the island.
But if I can ask a question, Corey.
You're pulling mic too.
Wasn't Solutions Barbados criteria, if I may add, to join them 25 years in business and are successful businessmen and women? Because I figure if you're talking about money, you don't need money when you got successful businessmen and women.
That's so a good one.
I should have seen more done, especially on your end, rather than UPPN, because you had 25 years, well, you ain't even 25 yet, Kim, but you understand. 25-year businessmen, and you were saying successful businessmen and women. Success gonna come with money. So you're just saying it can't be just success at doing something and break.
Very, very good point, Safra. I wanna pick up on that, and we're gonna reintroduce our last guest. The whole idea, though, of businessmen and so on, you would think that they would understand things like cost-benefit analysis, all these various things, because you had a choice to say, listen, we are self-funded, try to be as frugal as possible. But at the same time, when you listen to the others and how they commented on the fact that, like Roshana mentioned, the BLP seemed so ready with all the imaging, and our last guest joining us knows about marketing and so on. I understand that the launch, the Barbados Labour Party's launch in Weymouth, cost over $1 million. So that could be seen as a lot of spending, or that could be seen as a very good investment. As businessmen, you would think that you would understand this and you make a choice as to whether we will appear ready or if we will appear frugal and focus more on integrity and not being having finance campaign that we have to pay about people in the future.
Well, Corey, in the interest, I use this word integrity. I think I heard this on the United Progressive Party's platform, interest of campaign financing, and you have a unfair playing field when it comes to finances and who has a better chance of appearing ready. That does not mean that you're ready. You can look the part, but when push comes to shove, you cannot withstand the push. So United Progressive Party could have been the best choice for Barbados. We will never know, because they were not the ones who were given the $1 million to look ready, although they could have been. So, you know,
but the point is made even in what you're saying, because look then who gets the chance to see whether we are ready or not. Let me introduce our final guest, and her name is Crystal Austin. And I have to be very careful with the crystals. There's so many crystals on the national stage, though. Bag of crystals, bag of sugar crystals, I don't know. But Crystal Austin, good morning and welcome back to the studio.
Good morning, Corey. Good morning, panel. And good morning, Barbados.
I want to congratulate you coming out of the last election as well. We were talking about lots of young people, lots of women getting involved. And you are a young and you are a woman. So you are both. Tell us about your experience in the last election. Let's start there.
I had a wonderful time in the election. As the saying goes, pig in mud. You would know that I have always been around the political arena. Any background, we met at Youth Parliament many moons ago.
Yeah, just a few days ago.
Well, to me, it seems like a very long time.
Forever.
As a matter of fact, being considered a youth still is an honor. Mm-hmm. But certainly, having studied political science at the associate degree level and at the bachelor's degree level, I have been following the arena for a good while and have always had political aspirations. So to be able to jump in the ring, this toss was an excellent experience for me. It was a dream being fulfilled, and I certainly live my life like that. Like I try to choose to do things that fulfill my dreams. That when I'm in my rocking chair as a granny, I can tell my children good stories about the things I've done. That's how I select or make my choices in my life. So certainly, it was a fantastic experience. I was very honored to be among many experienced persons from our current prime minister, and as well as the younger candidates who came forward, you know, the Cattles, the Humphreys, Santi as well. I would have sat next to her, and very honored to do that during the panel discussion that we had here on People's Parliament. So rubbing shoulders with the who's who, and
being able,
yeah, I mean, even on election night, the honor of being the UPP representative and sitting with people like Hartley Henry and Sanka Price, you know, then David Ellis. It was an honor, to be honest, to be able to do that as a young person and as a young woman. And I remember making that distinction very clearly before I started to make my comments on election night, because I saw it as so important and critical for people to recognize the youth presence during our election this last May. I would say that it was also life-changing for me in terms of increasing my concern for our young people. I've always been very much very much concerned about the issues affecting our youth, and during my campaign, I spoke a lot about that, the 30% unemployment rate among our youth, which is three times that of the national rate. I spoke a lot about at-risk youth and the extent to which they are not able to manifest their true destiny. When you look at things like owning a piece of the rock back in the day, you know, I have a friend, for example, he bought his house when he was 21, and he's now in his 50s, 60s, finished paying his mortgage. And a lot of us in this generation, to own a piece of the rock is very, very challenging because of the cost of living, et cetera. So all of those were the issues that I tried to highlight on behalf of young people as I campaigned, as I canvassed. And I'm very satisfied with the performance that I made. I always stress from the beginning that I would conduct myself with integrity and dignity, because as you mentioned before, I am a public relations practitioner, and my job, I get paid to manage people's reputations. So my own reputation needed to stay intact. And I think that was critical. And it highlighted as well the extent to which this new generation of voters is so different from the ones back in the day. You know, in our parents' time, people used to go in platform and curse people, stink, black is white. And that was cool. But we, in this new generation, made it very, very clear that it's not kosher anymore. It's not par for the course anymore. We have to lift our standard, our banner. What I also found interesting was that in the fall of areas like St. John, it showed that there's a generation of young people who are empowered with the constitutional right to vote, but they are not aligned so strongly to like to the Barrow legacy, mm-hmm. whereas in the past you would see people voting very strongly regardless of what the policies of the party were. You saw in this election that people were in a new age. They only know Owen Arthur. They only know maybe a little bit of Sandy. So for them, their choice to vote was on the premise of performance, was on the premise of integrity, was on the premise of what plans they had to take the country forward, and what future we as young people will inherit from the plans that were put forward. So I am very proud to have been a part of the history making exercise, happy with my 101 votes. And I want to say thank you to the 101 people in St. James South publicly for putting their faith in me.
Listen, I gotta tell you, as you would know, coming off of the last People's Parliament, and even now, you have somewhat of a fan base. You've been able to capture the imagination of the Barbadian public. You started to talk and hear the comments. Crystal, you're in line for political ascendancy. She's got to stay in power. She got to stay in power. Corey Crystal is such an articulate and well-spoken lady with a bright future. However, she ran for the wrong party, but I love her. This one says, Crystal, in my view, was a key find to public life during the election campaign. My hope is that she will continue to develop and will return for future election. And it goes on and on and on. So you have somewhat of a fan base, unless you alert these people you are coming. Only kidding. I want to ask you one last question, then we're going to go back to some comments here. And if you're calling, just continue to call. The producer is multitasking, but he'll get to you. Continue. We're going to come to you. Crystal, the outcome. What do you believe is the key thing or key things that would have caused the outcome that we have from the general election 30-0?
Well, not to sound like a one-trick pony, but communication, communication. The last government did everything wrong as it relates to communication. It was like a best practice in everything not to do. They alienated the unions. They alienated the public servants. They basically alienated themselves, because it seemed as though when they announced that the election was happening that nobody even knew. They took 3 or 4 days after that to get their banners and everything up. So communication,
they surprised themselves.
Yeah, they were it seemed as though it was a secret even within the party, you know.
Y'all laugh. You see, no, I'm gonna take a different road, because there are some commentators online who really think that what we are doing, rubbing salt in the wounds and continuing what they call the prolonged victory lap. But I really want this to be an assessment. So your assessment is really about communication.
Yeah,
now, of course, we will have the snide joke, and it's really getting to some of the supporters. And I want to encourage you few supporters left out there, really to see this as an opportunity to do some reflection and introspection into how you can develop, even for the third parties, right. Not only for the Democratic Labour Party, because I think, let's take a look at this one. This one says, here, I want to find the particular one here. This one says, I typically enjoy your discourse, Corey. However, we had an election bellyful from VOB. I cannot see the value of a youth post-mortem and a prolonged victory lap. We have the IMF at our doors, high taxes and revenue struggles, and more seriously, not enough youth in the right places to challenge the old school practices. Let us use the viable Sunday morning time to discuss how our youth will crash through the old thinking glass ceiling. When is someone going to grab the reins and move Barbados from an analog society into a digital one? Less queues and inefficiency. That is a pretty good balanced WhatsApp to me. I get where the person is coming from. But in the beginning, it seems as though they're a little sore. But then coming on, they do make some wonderful points. And we can argue that the youth have really, some have crashed through the ceiling. When we talk about youth, there are different types of youth. I know there's youth and then there's young. But we have some people all in here, probably besides you and I, Crystal, under 30. We have a number of people in Senate, parliamentary secretaries and so on, who are fairly young. We have a fairly young acting prime minister right now. And those are things that we can celebrate. What's the take of the panel?
I think there's a value to a youth postmortem. How do we feel as young people after the election.
And then what do you do going forward?
Right, what do you do going forward?
Some people don't see value in youth, period. That's the problem, right? But go ahead.
Well, you know, a lot of people think of youth as problems. But there are resources in a youth postmortem. How do we feel? Did the election result in a change that we see as valuable? Youth account for over 60,000 strong in Barbados, and they're underrepresented as it relates to the political arena, and underrepresented in a large portion of things. They're also, to a certain extent, isolated from society in general in their positioning as it relates to power dynamics within the country. And I think following the election, young people, and with the launch of the manifesto that we saw from the BLP, there was a level of hope that came for young people. A lot of young people came out. And so what we need to examine is how to go forward, the person said. Young people are doing things. There are young people that have broken the glass. You let me, Kimar at 23 ran in a very difficult seat. Most persons, and I said it before, I would not have attempted to run in the seat. You know, I felt very, I was scared on your behalf. You have Crystal, who I met, well, not met, but who I would have seen at Barbados Community College representing UPP at the Youth Forum. And when I encountered Crystal, I thought that Crystal was a phenomenal, I think Crystal is a phenomenal young candidate that you had. So moving onward, you have young people who are willing to offer solutions and bring solutions to the fore. Mm-hmm. Young people who are committed to investing in the economy. Young people who are willing to offer advice. You have Imran Richards, who has come forward as it relates to the sargassum seaweed issue. You have young persons who are seeking to build social projects like Kimar Safra. You have young people who are involved in assisting marginalized youth, mm-hmm. willing, but all they want is the opening, the forums, the spaces where they could mm-hmm. be allowed to do so. Mm-hmm. So as a young person, I look forward to seeing that. Mm-hmm. I applaud Barbados on having a new government after an election. I applaud the mm-hmm. government on the work that it has done so far. But like the rest of the country, I wait to see what will happen. I also wait if the manifestos are there to hold them to the, not the promises, I don't say promises, mm-hmm. but the assurances that they give Barbadians. Understanding that as a citizen, I have the right to hold the government to those assurances. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this as a prolonged victory lap. And I could understand the concern of persons who may have had their feelings hurt. But I see this as a way to involve young people. We were involved at the beginning. Mm-hmm. We were involved in the middle. And we should be involved at the end and as we move forward post-election. That's simply how I see it.
But to add my worth, right? I want to be really frank. Yes, there are persons out there, just like if the Barbados Labour Party would have lost, it would probably be a large majority of us feeling the way the Democratic Labour Party supporters feel. So, to be fair, we can understand where they're coming from. But I think that, as Corey said, they don't take the time to reflect what their party did. Because there's some people, even on my Facebook, that still got the notion that the Democratic Labour Party did Barbados greater than anybody, greater for the country than they did for themselves, mm-hmm. you understand, individually. So I think that the Democratic Labour Party supporters would seriously need to look at it in terms of introspecting itself, introspecting the party, and come again. If you got youth that needs a voice, in the previous administration, you've never had a voice. We have a voice now to be able to say what we have to say in terms of where we want to see our country. It doesn't mean because we're here talking, we stop doing. We've been doing long before this conversation even started. So I think that we have to be in a respectable position that we have a right to review this. And by sitting here, and if they have our current government listening, they know where we stand as youth. You understand? Mm-hmm. And they have to respect that we are going to come hard-pressed at them if they do crap in this country too. So the review ain't just about rubbing salt in the DLP, but it's also to let the current administration know that the youth are here and we have this voice. And that is what people have to respect. It's not about BRD, no, it's about the youth. And we already going forward. We going forward long.
I got some questions in relation to how we go forward. And we're going to take some calls and then we're going to come back to that.